This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Wednesday, the 25th day of March. And Doug Duda along with Lonnie Kratzenstein. You get rained out today, too?
Yep, I got rained out. Coming through town, decided, why not? I want to talk to you. I haven't been here forever.
Well, I haven't invited you.
there's a correlation. Oh, I got to be invited? Well, that's going to change things drastically.
Spring break. Everybody else is.
Yeah. Last time I was in spring break was never. I didn't go to spring break when I was in college. Like, I'm going to go now.
We have got plenty to fill our plate today. Yesterday, we were talking about some of the longtime high school coaches, plus 30 years, stepping down from our area. And then last night, changes continue at UNK with Tom Kropp announcing that he was going to step down after being a part of the program for 39 years. And we'll talk with head coach Kevin Lofton coming up here in just a moment. He is the new head men's basketball coach at UNK. Then we'll be talking with Coach Lamerson about spring football. And we will also be chatting with Patty Satorius, who has taken over as the interim athletic director at Hastings College. Will this be a permanent story, or will she just be filling a little time while they're looking for someone else? So it's all going on. But obviously, last night, when you find out that Coach Kropp is going to step aside, there is so much more than Coach Kropp just being a basketball coach. And you don't want it to sound like a eulogy, but that's almost what it sounds like. I mean, the man has done so many things. Let's face it, he's one of the greatest athletes and coaches that the state has ever seen. We talk about Tom Osborne in a football reference. You have to talk about Tom Kropp. I don't care who was in Lincoln. Tom Kropp is the greatest. Tell me somebody that is more influential in Nebraska basketball, and then you can go to all the other sports, than Tom Kropp at any level at any time.
Oh, I can't. I can't. And the interesting thing about it is obviously longevity is one of those. He jokes about it all the time about, you know, being old and, you know, whatever. But if going back to the 1970s, if you look at the short list of greatest high school athletes, all-around athletes in Nebraska history, I always bring up Eric Strickland. I think Eric Strickland is number one. You know, Bob Boozer and people like that. Tom Kropp is right there. I mean, he's right in that short list. So, and you know, honestly, it's pretty rare for a great, great athlete to transform themselves into a coach for that long. Because sometimes, you know, the way that you have done things and the way you've been successful doesn't always translate into teaching and coaching. And one of the things about that, we've done it for that long, is you realize how many people you have influenced one way or the other. And, you know, you could line them up for years. And you know, those of us that coached at a lower level for a short period of time, you know, we're walking around, you see how many kids come up to you and talk to you and whatnot. Imagine that list. You know, imagine that list of people that he has influenced or been around, or, you know, just that sort of thing. So, but you're right. It's not a eulogy. I mean, it's a positive because,
oh, yeah.
There's always time to, we'd all like to win a championship like Coach Osborne in our very last year and then move on. That's not possible. But the year that they had this year was very rewarding from that standpoint in my eyes because, you know, they had a great year. And it's a good time right now.
And Kevin Lofton just has to replace him. He joins us live in studio. First off, Kev, thanks for taking time. We know it's a busy time here for you in all aspects. But let's start off with congratulations as the next men's basketball coach at UNK.
Thanks, guys. It really means a lot. Very humbled and proud to have the opportunity to step in and take over the program and just, you know, yeah, very humbled.
I know a lot of people, as we were going through the process last night, said that this kind of, I don't know if it caught them off guard, because it could have happened at any time. I know Tom's been asked the question probably for 10 straight years, and then nobody was really asking the question this year. How long did you have a sense that he was ready to step aside?
Really, I mean, this time of year, it's the routine is the same with us. We go through the long season, and once the season's over, I always just step back, and he always just steps away to recharge and kind of, you know, go just kind of evaluate the season. And, you know, that's pretty much the process he was going through. And so when the announcement came, I was a little surprised because of the timing. But at the same time, I you know, I understand. You know, he's kind of at a point. He's often said that, you know, there was going to be a time that he was going to have to walk away from it. And I'm just happy that we had the year that we had. The one thing I really think about is the last game against Fort Hays State. You know, I caught him throughout the course of the year, especially in the second semester, as we were playing better and the crowds got bigger. I could see the gleam in his eye come back, and to see that last crowd there against Fort Hays State, with the number of people we had that came out to support us, the way our kids played. You know that I'll remember that for a long time. But
One of the things that's unique about this situation is your role over the last few years, right? And you know, seemingly a pretty easy transition from this. You know, if all of a sudden we turn from a guy that's been there this long to, okay, let's go out and look for a new head coach. Could you talk a little bit about that? I mean, I don't know how blindsided you were, but can you talk a little bit about the transition and what your main focus is right now?
Well, the transition, I guess that's what the co-head coaching setup was supposed to be about. It would help ease into that. The kids obviously don't have to adjust anyone new now at the head coaching position, which I think is key. We do have a lot of really good, you know, have some good players, some good kids coming back that you know, obviously they're the number one concern right now. Visited with all of them a little bit on the phone yesterday, let them know what was going on, and they were very supportive. And so that's the main focus right now. We got to get them back from spring break. Got to have some organizational meetings, make sure we make the most of April academically, which is huge because our kids have been traveling a ton. And obviously when you travel, you miss some things that obviously you got to scramble and get caught up on. And, you know, we need to do that and make sure we finish the semester strong academically. We'll get in the weight room and really work hard there. And we'll also be in the gym working individually with our guys and, you know, some team workouts as well.
Talking with the new head men's basketball coach, and the best part about this, silver lining, I'll say the best part about this is now every time that I read the sports or we talk about the coach, I don't have to say co-head men's basketball coach. I can just say head men's basketball coach. Kevin Lofton is with us in studio. I want to go back to what you were touching on about the Loper basketball program getting better, because let's face it, during the transition you guys were in the same spot that some of the other coaches were. You weren't where you wanted to be winning basketball games, and although Coach Kropp doesn't want to be in front of the microphone and in front of the TV camera very often, if you do catch him off to the side and get to speak to him, he's always more than cordial to speak for a couple of minutes, and I remember him saying something to the point of, we need to right this ship before I can think about leaving feeling good, having a good feeling, leaving this program where I want. Talk about the times where it wasn't going well and how you guys fixed it.
I mean, obviously we had a stretch there where we were winning on an average of 24 games a year and things were rolling. And then we fell on hard times, or however you want to describe it. And it was tough. You know, I mean, you know, when you get used to winning the way we were, you take it for granted. And then all of a sudden when it's taken from you and you're struggling, and once you kind of fall to the level that we fell at, it's hard. It's hard to get back up and fight your way back to the top. And so it was a long process. You know, we had a lot of conversations about, you know, what we needed to right the ship. And the one thing that we kind of came back to was Nebraska kids. You know, getting back to getting the best, you know, the best players that we can get out of the state to come to our university and develop them and get them better. You know, that's pretty much how we did it, and that's what we went back to. You know, the one thing I want to take a step back and just understand that, you know, I got the question a lot about what's going to change. You know, I mean, I love Coach Kropp. He's been like a father to me. You know, the things that he worked really, really hard to instill in our guys, they're just going to be coming from a different voice. That's not changing. I mean, we're not going to blow anything up. We're going to continue to try to build momentum off of the way things were done. Every kid that comes into our program is going to know that, you know, this is the University of Nebraska at Kearney. This is where Tom Kropp played. This is where Tom Kropp coached. And this is the things that he believed in. They're just going to be coming through me now.
Core values don't change.
Not at all. Not at all. Right. I mean, we're going to expect our kids to have a great attitude. We're going to expect them, you know, to have a great work ethic. We're going to expect them to be unselfish. We're going to expect them to be fundamentally sound, both on and off the floor. We're going to ask them to be in tremendous shape, and then we're going to talk about enjoying it. I mean, that's great. That's a great formula for athletics, but it's also a great formula for life. And that's what he preached. And, you know, there's so many things that he would say that – at the time, you think, okay, that's really great pertaining to basketball. But then you look back a few years later, and you're like, you know what? That's life. You know, he would get after our kids all the time about when they hit the floor, don't just lay there. Get up, come a flying, come a scrambling, get up and compete. Well, that's what life's about. You get knocked down in life, you're going to take some punches. I can remember specifically a road trip. It was him. It was myself. It was Coach Kropp, and it was Marty Levinson. I can't remember where we were going, but it was after one of those tough years that you had just talked about. And, you know, I was going through some things personally. And we pulled off at a gas station. And I was just about to get out of the car. And he looked me dead in the eye. And he kind of teared up a little bit. And he said, Kevin, he said, you've taken some punches this year. And I said, yeah, Coach, you're right. And he just gritted his teeth and his jaw popped out like it always does when he was angry and he was going to make his point. And he said, just keep competing. Just keep competing. And didn't ever say he never said anything else for about 20 minutes. And I got goosebumps then. I get goosebumps now. But he's always stood tall for me and the people in the program and the people in his life. And, you know, that's what makes him special.
Mm. That's good.
Kevin, when you guys travel, there's so much travel and long trips and you're worried about the game. How much was actual non-X and O talk? I mean, was as you look back on it?
You know, I think the non-X and O talk not necessarily came on the bus. I told you guys, I'm a poor sleeper, and when I hit the bus, I'm usually asleep within a half hour of the trip starting. And that's just the way it is. That's the way I've always been. But, I mean, it was during camp that we'd have talks, you know, maybe an occasional recruiting trip we'd have talks, or just in his office, you know, you'd have those talks. And you know, it's 20 years of it. And it's the stories you hear him tell to the kids. And, you know, that's just the thing about kids. They don't understand the points you're trying to get across to them at the time. It's 5 years later. Mm-hmm. It's 10 years later that you get a text or you get a call from someone that says, hey, you know what? I get it now. I understand what you were trying to get me to see. You know, you look at those six core values that we've always tried to instill in our guys. And, you know, I got a text from Brian Dunnigan last night. And guys like that, Mike Hancock, a lot of former players that were really good here. And you look at how they're doing now since basketball is no longer there. And that's a true testament to what you are as a coach. You know, I believe that my biggest philosophy is, you know, what my job is to help an individual or team get to a level that they could not have gotten to by themselves. Whether that's on the floor or whether that's in the classroom or whether that's in life, trying to help them with core values and instill things that Coach did so eloquently in stories. I mean, the guy was a master at getting his point across through a story or picking up the newspaper and reading about a tragedy and relaying that to the kids of how fortunate they are to be alive, how fortunate they are to be at this university. And have the opportunity that they have and that they needed to enjoy it. So, I mean, it's just, you know, the wealth of knowledge that I've gotten from him over the years is you can't put a measuring stick on it. And, you know, I'm not here to try to fill his shoes because I don't think there's no one here that you could have brought. There's no one you could have brought in here to do that. He's just that unique. He's just that special. What I'm going to try to do is just, you know, take the core values that he's tried to instill in kids and continue to do that. It's going to be a different voice with the same message, And that's kind of what I said. Every kid that comes through is going to understand what he stood for, what he's about, and that's going to come through me because I believe so much in him.
You've prepared for this for a while. I know, you know, you've had time to think about some of these sort of things. You know, can you talk right now about staff, about what you plan to do, you know, especially at this time of year when, you know, as you mentioned, there's so many other things going on and, you know, you've got to fill that void of a staff member as well.
Well, the biggest thing, and I've told myself this, and I'm going to meet with Dr. Polinsky, and he's going to help me through the process, much like he helped Coach Lamerson. But I want to take my time and make sure I get the right fit. I think that's so crucial right now. Same thing with recruiting. We have enough guys back. At this point, we have 10 guys that are coming back. I think you can do more harm than good if you speed through something and come up with maybe someone that's not the right fit in either position, whether it be a player or a coach. So, you know, I'm just going to take my time and work through it. Obviously, loyalty is a big thing for me. For so many years, I've been loyal to Coach. It's always been Coach first and program, and I kind of want to find that in the people I'm working with. Also, being, you know, it's the athlete, it's the student athlete. I mean, it's about these kids. You know, it's not about me. It's about these kids. It's about, you know, helping them, developing them, both on and off the floor. And basically, it's like I said earlier, I mean, when you look at the Brian Dunnigans, the Chad Sheffields, the Nick Savelas, you know, the Nick Brandings, go on and on. They were tremendous players, yes, and they were tremendous people as well. But look at what they're doing now. You know, Joey Cocker and Dusty Jewell, all those guys that I hear from all the time. And there's so many more, and I hate to start naming names because you're always going to leave somebody out. But, you know, a true testament to what a coach is really about is what his players become after he's left. They're gone. You know, how do they, are they able to continue to buy into the simple little life lessons that he's been teaching them and how that impacts them later on in life? And, you know, when you look at the roll call of players that have played for him and the success that they're having out in the real life, that's all you really need to know about the man right there.
Mm-hmm. And you talk to all those kids. I know so many of those guys you're talking about, and that's exactly right. And every single one of them would say what they learned or what they were taught through you guys during that time period, it carried on. And, you know, one of the challenges, I wanted to ask you about this a little bit because there's no doubt that transition to a tougher conference, playing against better athletes, tougher teams, you had to really evaluate and look at, okay, what are we going to do to win in this conference? And as you said, you kind of got away from a little bit of what it was like before. Mm. And then you've kind of cycled around to that Nebraska kid, that hard nose, that great character, tough kid. So, are you convinced that that is the kind of kid I know that's probably what the kid that you want to coach, mm-hmm. and that's the kid you want to recruit first and foremost, because none of us, it's no fun if we're, you know, no matter how many games you win, it's no fun when we're coaching kids that aren't like that. But, can you speak to that just a little bit about, you know, what kind of kid, the challenge of the conference and what kind of kid you have here to not only make your job enjoyable, but also, by the way, win games?
Just go back, you know, I think 3 years ago we were 7-19. It was the first year in the conference, and that was the year. And again, I was in charge of recruiting. That's on me. You know, I thought that, you know, I heard so many stories about how athletic the guys were and how physically talented, and you got to get that kind of kid. And, you know, I think, you know, we did have some talented kids that I'd brought in, but the problem was they did not value the opportunity. They did not understand the opportunity to play at the University of Nebraska at Kearney. They did not understand how special that is. They did not understand, you know how lucky they were. It was an attitude of, you know, it's not what I can do for the team. It's what the team can do for me. And
don't you think every single college coach in America faces that the same thing right now?
Oh yeah. That's a daily battle. A daily battle. But the thing that I think we've learned from that is, you know, you always want to get the best players that you could possibly get out of your home state, because they're going to have that pride, that state pride. And, you know, I am from Arizona. That's where I was born and raised. But remember, I lived in Nebraska for 22 years. Mm-hmm. And the community in Kearney means a lot to me. You know, I take just as much pride in the state as anybody else. So, you know, when you get Nebraska kids like Ty Danielson from York, You look at Connor, you look at Ethan, those kids, you know, they're playing for something a little bit more, mm-hmm. you know. And when you get them in the, at their home school, it means a little bit more to them. Now, we're still going to recruit out of state. I think we got to try to find a way to get inroads into Kansas, which is going to be really tough because they got to drive by so many MIAA schools just to get here. So that's always going to be an uphill battle. But we're also, you know, Iowa, we got a good start in Iowa with Trey Landsman. I think we got a good start in the Minneapolis area in Minnesota with Isaiah McKay, and we want to build on that. But first and foremost, you know, every summer
that foundation.
Every summer I go out, I watch the AAU teams play in St. Louis and Vegas, and I'm kind of parked on the Nebraska, you know, at the Nebraska kids' games, the Bison games, the OSA games, because those are the kind of kids, those are the kids that are in state. If they can play at the level, at this level in the MIAA, we got to move heaven and earth to try to find a way to get them. Mm-hmm.
Last minute here with Kevin Lofton, the new men's basketball coach at Nebraska Kearney, because let's face it, we could sit here and talk for hours about the retirement of Tom Crop. Can you remember your first Tom Crop moment, meeting, encounter?
Oh, wow. There's been so many. That's like, what's your favorite Crop story? I mean, there's so many that come to mind. You know what? Two things sum up to me, Coach, and I think I don't know if I've said it before, so if I'm repeating myself, you have to forgive me, but I think I learned a lot about Coach as far as how he treats people, especially people that cannot benefit him in any way. I think when you're around somebody that has something that you want, I think it's natural to want to treat them a certain way, but it's how he treated people that either he didn't know or, you know, whether he knew him or not, whether they could benefit him or not, he treated them like gold. And I think that's what made him so unique. And that's one thing I always remember. But there's a story that's passed along, a war story where I think it was during the Mike Hancock era. I don't know if Kenya Crandall was here or not, but it was about the time that the Bulls were really, really flying with Jordan. And they had that game. They'd get their hands in before the game, and they'd go, game time, woo. Well, our kids kind of decided they wanted to go down that road, and as luck would have it, they did not have the best first half. So when we got in the locker room, he just was like, hey, game time, woo. Game time, woo, woo, woo. And, I mean, he just went in about being ready to play the game and leave all the fringe, you know, the ruffles and frills off to the side. And it's about getting there. And when you get between the lines, it's about the guy that's next to you and competing your backside off for him and the guys on the bench. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot more. I probably could have, if I had some time, I could have given you a better one than that. But the thing about the story is to this day, if you run into some guys, Brent Karnatz or Mike Hancock or some guys from that era, you get enough of them around, that's the first thing that one of them will pop off and say, game time. And they'll go in. So, I mean, there's lots of stories like that. I think every great coach is going to have kids that remember those moments. And you know, I truly believe a quote I came across the other day, it says, the impact you have on others is the most valuable currency there is. And when you look at the people that Coach, the number of people that he's impacted, and again, it goes back to what they've become since they've left his program, since they've been around him, you know, that's what it's about. And if I can just impact half of the number that he's done, I would have done something pretty special.
You'll get Tom Crop questions for a little while. So I know it'll be hard to answer the question now, but I'll ask it now, and then when we get to basketball season this fall, I'll ask you again. But game one, you're going to look over your shoulder and there's no Tom Crop on the bench.
Oh. You know, I get chills just thinking about it. I mean, it's going to be hard because I just think that so many years I sat there and he's to my left. And, you know, good, bad, and indifferent, he's there and he's going to stand tall for me, and I was going to try to stand tall for him. So it's going to be hard. That first game out is going to be hard. But, again, all I really want to do is just make him proud. Proud by the way I'm going about things, proud by the things I'm asking these kids to do. I want to make the community proud. I just think it's, you know, I heard him say one time, and it's always stuck with me, I'd pay money to go see that kid play. And when you think about it, I want to try to have the kids in our program where the people in community will do what they did with the team in 2003, and that is come out and embrace them, come out and say, you know, bring their son or daughter and say, hey, you know what, this is the way you do it. You know, this is how hard you got to play the game. This is how fundamentally sound you got to play by watching our guys play. You know, I've had kids, you know, one guy that's an all-time favorite of mine, Brian Dunnigan, he texted me last night, and I'll just never forget, you know, me as a coach watching that kid play and think, you know what, if I had a son, I want him to be like Brian. Or I want to have the kind of kids in our program that conduct themselves and do the right thing so that, you know, if I'm a parent, I can bring that my kid to the game and say, you know what, you know, watch him. Watch how he plays. That's how you want to do it.
I played church team softball with Chef and Dunnigan.
And they're not very good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was, well, they were the ringers in that league. I'll tell you that right now. But my son was 4, 5, 6 years old. And the impact those guys had on that kid, just being around him, you know, playing catch with him, just that is exactly what you're saying. They're the kind of guys that you're like, I want to bring my kid. I want him around him. I don't have to parent at one little bit when those guys are around there because they can teach stuff.
Right.
It's exactly what you're saying.
That's where we were at, that run we had when we had 10 NCAA tournaments in 12 years. We had those kind of kids. And, you know, we lost it for a while there. I'm not saying every kid we brought in during that stretch was bad, but we lost our culture a little bit. And it's been a dogfight to get it back, and we seem to have it to a certain extent. You know, there's still more work to do, and I just want to continue on that journey and hopefully get it back to that point. I think I owe that to Coach.
Kevin Lofton, he'll be the head coach of the first MIAA basketball champions here at UNK. So whether that's next year or a couple of years down the road, I think they'll probably be MIAA preseason favorites next year, don't you think, Monty?
And now they will be.
I can't believe why they wouldn't. We'll move on.
You guys kill me right now.
I want to thank Peter Yazbak and all the gang at UNK. It's been a crazy, well, for us, it's not near as crazy as it's been for them the last 18 hours or so. But Kevin, always enjoy the chats, and we look forward to keeping it up, and best of luck, man.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Now that I don't mind, I mean, seeing you guys, I'll come in more often.
It's not so scary in here.
Yeah,
is
I
it?
Know, right? I mean, before I was like, wow, I don't know if I can go down there. I better stick to the phone. But
well,
now,
somebody once told me if you can do it, anybody can do it. So I've heard that. multiple times.
Well,
so it is not.
It's
a
not
bad
like game. Watching Mike and Mike.
And
on
by
TV.
The way, Damon sits over there, so it isn't like that.
Don't get me started on Day. Don't get me started.
That bar isn't set that high.
We're gonna take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Josh Laverson's gonna talk some football and Patty Satorius, Hastings College, when we come back.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center. NMC, the Cat Rental Store, is honored to partner with the Kearney community with the opening of the newest rental store. Located at 2608 East 32nd Street Place, Suite C. NMC Cat Rental is your source for daily, weekly, and monthly rental of high-quality, low-hour cat and top allied brands of equipment and attachments. Contact NMC for your next rental and choose from skid steer loaders, tow-behind booms, generators, and so much more. Visit online, nmcrental.com, or call 855-NMC-RENT, nmcrental.com.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
One play can change momentum in a game.
Field goal attempt for the corner with 1.6 seconds to play. Now he launches up a shot at the buzzer.
And one deductible is a game changer when it comes to your insurance.
He hits it! A 3-point field goal with the state championship.
That's why you should see Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your Farm Bureau agents. They can bundle your car and home together into a single policy. So, if life sends a blitz in the form of a storm or fire,
kidding me.
You'll pay just one deductible for everything that's covered. Talk to Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters, and Matt Myers today and see how simple it can be. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliates, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see some areas of fog early today. There is a chance for a few scattered showers early on as well. Otherwise, we'll have cloudy skies with breezy north winds and a high near 49 degrees. I'm WeatherEye meteorologist Sam Zanisky. Right now, it's 37.
We built this city. We built this city.
Doug and Daddy Show rolling along. Patty Sartorius, interim athletic director at Hastings College, will be joining us next segment. And in just a second, we're going to catch up with Josh Lamerson, head football coach at UNK. Folks, a lot of places say they're a sports bar and grill, but no one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop. Go in and watch all the basketball you want. The NIT continues tonight, and then, of course, the Sweet 16 will get into their national round on Thursday and Friday, and you can do it all while enjoying your favorite beverages with your friends, your family, your coworkers, or just by yourself if you're going to slide in there. Have some chicken wings, have a pizza, have some burgers, maybe just pick up an appetizer. That are so good. And don't forget, if you got a big crowd or you got something going on, they've got their convenient party areas and big large party room for you. But it's all about you. Open 7 days a week because, well, you're hungry 7 days a week. A sports bar and grill like no other, the Kearney Chicken Coop. Well, spring football begins for UNK and Hastings College after they come back from spring break this week. First practice will be set next Tuesday. The Lopers will also have a spring game coming up on April the 25th, and it's time for our Loper Link, brought to you by CharterWest National Bank of Kearney. You have the reasons, they have the loans. See Russ Smith today at CharterWest National Bank. And Coach Lamerson, thanks for giving us some time. As you may know, there was some other Loper breaking news. We appreciate you switching things up for us.
No problem at all. I don't mind taking a back seat. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Well, as you get ready for your first spring practice, what's going through your mind? What's going through your head here as you're going through your final couple of days to make sure you got everything like you want?
Well, I think just probably being organized is one of the biggest things when you have a new coaching staff and you're associated with a new football team. Actually knowing where everybody's supposed to go, when they're supposed to go there, transitioning in between segments. You know, obviously schematics on offense, defense, special teams, but you know, just being organized, having high energy, making sure that the coaches are well informed on what everybody's expectations are, and then they relay that message to the players, I think is paramount for us. But you know, up to this point, I feel really good about going in next week and watching our guys in between stripes.
Coach Monty Kratzenstein, one of the challenges I know as a new coach is trying to identify players and the skill set that they have versus
right.
what you want to do. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, we've talked about down in Lincoln, you know, them changing practice structure or whatever, because that's one of their
yep.
challenges as well. What can you talk a little bit about that from your standpoint, about your challenges of your scheme versus the players that you have
right.
next week?
Right. Well, I think that's one of the key things, especially when you're taking over a program, to really evaluate the skill set that you have. I think you know, we have a little bit of an advantage just because we played UNK at our respective schools that we came from, most of us. And so we have, you know, somewhat of an idea of what these kids can do. But, you know, exactly how they're going to adapt and to fit into a scheme is definitely something different. You know, we've been having meetings where we've been implementing the offensive schemes and defensive schemes, you know, really throughout winter conditioning and things like that. So they've been picking it up, but to see them, you know, in between the stripes and actually going full speed and reacting to bullets flying, I think is something that's totally different. So that's really where we reserve a little bit of judgment to see exactly how these guys are going to perform when a play is called and they have to react to a defense and make plays.
Talking with Josh Lamerson. He is the new head football coach at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, getting ready for his first spring practice on Tuesday. Coach, there are a lot of kids that are coming back off last year's team, a few of them that have received some accolades. How much have you been able to I know I kind of keep asking about this, but without being able to practice, how much can you learn just looking at tape, going through what they're doing here in winter conditioning?
Right. Well, you know, I think more than anything, you learn the mental makeup of kids. physical skill you can see off of film from last year. And then, you know, what we've been doing in our winter conditioning and agilities and power and speed stations that we've kind of set up. And, you know, we design all those to be, football specific. So you can see some of those things and how they perform in those drills. And, you know, really encouraged by the kids and really how they've embraced the challenge that we've thrown at them. I think more than anything, you know, we're going to be physically tough. We're going to play fast. We're going to play smart, and together. And those are attributes that we've been trying to establish, and the kids have really picked up on it. And I'm proud of their efforts up to this point. But like I said, you never really know. A kid can be a testing superstar, but when you put on the pads, there's a completely different story there. So, you know, that's why it's so exciting for us to be able to do that, put those guys in real-life game situations to see how they react to it.
One of the things that some of us like to do, we like to stop by football practices, and we like football practice more than we like games. Some of us geeks,
right,
that like to watch that sort of stuff. But tell us a little bit about your style. Are you one of those guys that kind of walk around from station to station evaluating, or are you going to be focused more on coaching, helping coach a position, or what's your style? What's it going to look like to those of us on the fence?
Coming from the University of Central Missouri and where I coached the quarterbacks and was the offensive coordinator, really enjoy that aspect of it, to be honest. And so in the spring, actually, I'm going to be coaching the quarterbacks, and I'll be the play caller. It'll be a little bit of a different dynamic because, obviously having the chair as the head coach, you evaluate both sides of the ball. But really, it was a major point of emphasis for me to hire good coaches, and I'm not a micromanager any way, shape, or form. I'm going to let those guys coach and trust their evaluation because they're good evaluators of talent, and they can assess their own position and really trust the defensive coordinator that we have in place and Coach Ken Gordon, and that guy that I feel that very strongly is very capable of running that side of the football and communicating with him and really taking what he has to say into consideration, kind of go from there. But I'll be working primarily with the quarterbacks and the offensive unit, but definitely overseeing everything.
Josh, are there any kids that won't be able to go in spring practice for whatever reason?
Up to this point, knock on wood, we're relatively healthy. We have a couple kids that had surgery right after the season. Rod Theodore comes to mind, a knee, but other than that, for the most part, I don't want to jinx anything, but we're relatively healthy going into spring practice, and that always is going to change. You're going to have your bumps and your bruises. Right off the top of my head, Alan Carroll, offensive lineman, is still dealing with some physical ailments, so he won't be able to go. For this point, for where we're at, relatively healthy and ready to go, I think.
Doug, we aren't good sports people, reporters, unless we do a little research on a guy, right? And what a guy's like. And what do you? So here, true or false? Josh was known as a player for being one of those guys that played hard,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
True or false? You threw up your first basketball game as freshman year during the game because you were playing so hard at Wilbur Claytonia. True or false?
You had to dig in the archives for that. That is true. That is true. I think probably coupled with the excitement of being a freshman and trying to play hard, I think that's kind of what triggered that. Good insight. I appreciate that.
Well, unfortunately, I've been friends with a guy that was maybe influential in your life, Tim Beretta, for about 25 years.
Coach, yes. What a fantastic individual. I was very fortunate to have him as my basketball coach. I actually was a student manager before I got into high school with him. So, I've known Coach Beretta for a very, very long time, but a guy that did have a profound impact on my life. I was so blessed to have so many good coaches growing up.
Well, I didn't know, and this is interesting, when a guy gets hired and you kind of look at their background and all of a sudden you look at Wilbur Claytonia and you look at, the conference or whatever, and I'm like, wait a minute, I know.
Yep.
Timmy and I are old college buddies and we know each other forever. In fact, I get a text message from him once in a while. He might or might not have asked about if we had a podcast of this. So if you want to shoot something out to Wilbur Claytonia High School, I'm sure that he's probably going to listen.
Oh, that is fantastic. No, he really did play large. Him and his wife, Kelly, played a huge impact on my life growing up, and couldn't have been more blessed to have a great coach like that.
Well, Josh, let me ask you a question, and I think this probably will play into your youth, being a young football coach. We just talked with Coach Lofton about Coach Kropp, about playing your butts off when and working hard the whole time. We get this persona now, or if that's probably not even the right word I want to use here, but that young people are not like they were when we went to school and all that kind of stuff. You do have to have talent. How can you coach toughness?
Well, you know, there's an old saying that we've used in the football world for a long time, that if they don't bite when they're young, they're not going to bite. I don't know if you can necessarily instill toughness in a person, and they have to embody that. They have to. Now, you set the tone, you set the pace for what your expectations are and what your level is as far as that's concerned. But I think a kid has mental toughness or they don't, you know, and I think that goes back to the recruiting and getting to know someone and what makes them tick and what their family makeup is, and talking to their high school coach and doing your research on kids. Because you're right, you know, for a lot of different reasons, I think kids today are probably different than they were 20 years ago. They're not going to just bang their head through a wall just because their coach told them to do it. You know, they're going to want to know why and how it's going to benefit them and how it's going to benefit the team. And so you have to have reasons to back things up. Now, I do think personal relationships come into play. I think, you know, nowadays you have to talk with kids instead of at kids. Kids will throw up their defense mechanism right away if they feel like they're being talked at or being talked down to. So that's why really you have to talk with a kid and with, you know, through schemes and, you know, techniques and fundamentals and what you want to apply to get them to really buy into it. And I think if a kid knows that you care about them, more so than, you know, just being number 86 in between the stripes, but if you care about them on a personal level, then they're a lot more likely to run through that brick wall for you if they understand what you're trying to get across and how it's going to benefit them and the football team.
And, Coach, we'll be able to pretty much tell if we come to practice on Tuesday, but maybe you can give us a heads up here. Are there any significant contributors that weren't seniors from last year's team that will not be back with the program this spring? And are there any kids out of this massive recruiting class, which was obviously heavy high school, will there be any of those that will be able to join you in spring ball or came to school early?
Right. There's actually, I'll answer the second one first. There are not any mid-year transfers, other than the exception of David Squires is back on the football team, who's going to be helping out the offensive line. And then Bob Bailey, the transfer, offensive line transfer from Arizona Western is also here too. And so, those two will be here. Other than that, our high school class and the other junior college kids that we signed are still finishing up their respective semesters and will be here. A lot of them will be here this summer. As far as the contributors from last year, there really hasn't been anyone that has dropped off the map or decided to go a different direction. I think, you know, a point of emphasis has been competition, so you might not necessarily see a guy that started last year out there with the ones necessarily, or, you know, we're going to open things up, and, you know, we don't really have a depth chart, and so... you know, we're going to challenge kids and make them prove to themselves and to us and to their teammates that they deserve to be out there with the ones and really kind of open that field up. And so I'm looking forward to that.
All right. The whistle will be around the neck as the head coach on Tuesday. You got to be fired up.
I really am, you know, blessed with a great bunch of kids and a very supportive administration. It's been a whirlwind of a 3 months, but absolutely I couldn't think of a better way to kick this thing off and get going on Tuesday.
Josh, we'll keep up to date with you throughout the spring. Enjoy this weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great. Thanks, Doug. Appreciate it.
Take care.
See you, Coach.
Josh Lamberson, head coach, UNK, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. That's got to be, let's face it, when he trots out of that locker room and onto the field on Tuesday, he's going to be more green than some of the guys that are on the field. I mean, those guys are used to practicing at UNK.
Sure. But the other thing, this is what he's trained for. The excitement of this sort of thing. We talked with Coach Lofton, we talked about Coach Lambeau. I mean, it's exciting because through their playing career, through their coaching careers, what they did, this is what they've been wanted to do. And that's an exciting sort of thing. I really like the idea of the fact that they both understand the challenges that are there, because it is not an easy situation to be a head coach anywhere at any time. We've seen that over just recent history, where you see guys that aren't coaching anymore and some of the challenges that they faced and so on. But I'm excited for it. I think I'm encouraged by it, and it'll be fun to go through there and watch some practice and see how things develop.
Everything's different. We'll all be learning a little bit. So other Loper Lake news for you, UNK forward Connor Baranek, Basketball Coaches Association first team all-district player, the last player to do that, Dusty Jura, back in 2007. Joey Richards of UNK is the men's tennis athlete of the week. Dylan Schroeder is the baseball player of the week after hitting 714 in their four-game series against Pitt State. Six doubles, homer, 16 runs, knocked in, 16 ribbies as they took 3 of 4. The UNK women's golf team will host their spring invite Monday and Tuesday at Awori Dunes. They finished ninth down in St. Joe, Missouri, out of 15 teams. Don't forget the third annual Loper Color Stampede set for Sunday, April 12th. You can go to lopers.com for more information there. And the tennis team also has been competitive. They've been down in Mississippi for spring break. They picked up 2 wins over Mississippi College, and they will host National Powerhouse Southwest Baptist at Harmon Park Friday. It begins at 10 a.m. The softball team split their doubleheader yesterday with Colorado Christian. Kate Rui continues to pound the softball. She had the game winner in the 6-5 victory in game two. They dropped the opener 5-2. It was tied 2-2 going into the seventh. They're scheduled to play this afternoon, but as you can look outside, that doesn't look good. Peter Yazvak, who is with us here, says there has yet to be an official determination on softball, and as soon as something changes, we will let you know. And that's our Loper Link, brought to you by Russ Smith at Charter West National Bank of Kearney, offering all types of loans from FHA, VA, RD, and conventional home loans. And for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons, they have the loans at Charter West National Bank. So a lot of Loper talk when we come back. We're going to switch to Hastings College. They're going through some changes there in their athletic department. Patty Satorius, who, if you've lived in this area for any amount of time, you probably had the pleasure of coming across to her, either working or cheering on her kids. So we're going to talk with Patty. And by the way, because of a previous event, Cunningham's does not have comedy night this week. They're booked for another event, so that's why we have no comedy clip today. But we will have that for you next Thursday, Cunningham's comedy night, normally Thursday nights at 7:30 and 10:30, but they are off this week. And we will be back, Doug Dudamani, Kratzenstein, after this.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Crete & Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Crete & Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
If you're hoppy and you know it, then you need to get your tickets to this year's Hastings Downtown Do the Brew. Taste dozens of craft beers and enjoy live music at this fundraiser for the Hastings Art Council. Do the Brew will be held April 25th at the Hastings City Auditorium. Tickets are available at the Hastings Area Chamber of Commerce, Murphy's Wagon Wheel, or Wine Styles. Be hoppy and know it at the Hastings Downtown Do the Brew, April 25th. Please drink responsibly. Designated driver.
Have you ever seen a rusty fish?
The same way scales protect the fish from his environment, the Arma Coating Spray-On Bed Liners from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. No rust, no dents, no scratches, no chemical corrosion. So your truck has a longer work life and holds its value longer. Reduces load slippage, and here's a bonus, it quiets the ride. See the Dent Popper north of Railroad on First, on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, and get a free estimate for an Arma Coating Spray-On Bed Liner. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck.
Assisted living. Is it about help with the daily needs of living or about getting more out of life? Is it about the services offered or the spirit in which help is given? At Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village, the difference is in a philosophy that everyone deserves to feel loved and valued. In fact, it's a lot more than assisted living. It's a little help from your friends. For more information on assisted living, give us a call at Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares. OneRocky.com.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, former Husker Monty Kratzenstein. Husker baseball, a big win last night over Cal State Fullerton. 7-2, first time they've ever beaten the Titans in nine tries. Of course, Cal State ended their season in the NCAA tournament last year.
I'll predict that if we can have it be 37 degrees every time we played them, our record would be better.
Well, they're scheduled to play this afternoon at 1:35, and you can hear Husker baseball on 1230 AM KHAS. Well, it's not going to rain and give you precipitation every time that you want it as you plant in your field and get ready for 2015. We all know that. So why not make it easy on yourself? You're going to have to invest. So when you spend your money, why not have the best in your field? And that's your T&L irrigation system. Superior reliability, safety, simplicity of their hydraulic design, and one of the great things, low maintenance. Those are a big time reasons why you should have a T&L irrigation system in your field. Plus, the biggest of all, you'll see the difference in your pocketbook when it comes harvest time. Contact your local T&L dealer or visit TLIRR.com. Their worldwide headquarters in Hastings started in the 1950s. They serve every country or every state in the country and over 60 countries worldwide. They're like no other at T&L Irrigation. And we are pleased, and we will talk a little Husker football, by the way, before we get out of here. But we're pleased to welcome in Patty Satorius, who I have to chuckle. Let's face it, Patty, you may have been the first coach I interviewed when I came to Kearney. And that, so what does that make us, a day older?
Well, it makes us old. That was a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, you pick up a resume or you pick up a sheet that says, well, I know she did all this stuff, but then when it's put down in paper in front of you and you talk about it, you just go, my goodness, how did you even have time to have, you know, a family and hook up with old what's-his-name?
Well, there's a reason that I'm not coaching anymore, I guess, or in athletics, because it is time-consuming and, you know, there's not enough time in the day. But, you know, my life has changed. We're empty nesters. Greg is nearing the end of his coaching career and perhaps his teaching career, and you know, this is just a detour, I guess, for us. Our kids are, you know, gone, so it allows some time for me, especially to get back into athletics, something that I've always loved and enjoyed.
Well, did he tell you that you got to be the breadwinner now, or what's going on?
don't think that he's going to officially completely retire, because he will have a second career. We just don't know what that is yet.
Well, Patty has been named the interim athletic director at Hastings College. Of course, a Hastings alum, played multiple sports, coached multiple sports, was the UNK volleyball coach after she was the coach over at Hastings. And as we've known for a while, Jerry Schmutty was going to retire at the end of June, just like Coach Kropp. That's the end of the academic year when it comes to collegians, whatever level the case may be. And I guess I was a little surprised here, Patty, and I didn't know, and we jostled about it a little bit on the show yesterday. Is this because they want you to be the athletic director? Is this because they've got somebody on the hook that can't be the athletic director for a year or so? What is your interest? Because as we talked about it yesterday afternoon, Tom Osborne was interim for a while, and then he took the job over. Is this something you want to permanently do?
Well, you know, I that wasn't on my game plan. You know, I was very happy with the career that I'm in. I love being back at Hastings College. I love being in the foundation and alumni office. I love the relationships that I'm able to establish. But I believe it was just a situation where we're in this transition. There are some things we would maybe like to shore up, meaning, you know, we've changed the way the entire campus does budgeting, does all these sorts of things. And so it just didn't feel right to bring somebody into that situation where all these decision-makings were going on. So I think they kind of looked at the folks that were around and what made sense. And, you know, they Patty Satoria, she's got an athletic background. She's been in athletic administration. She's still here. Why don't we just buy us some time and do a little transition here with her? So in my mind, Doug, I'm thinking that this interim AD position is 1 year. It's not something that I thought I would be going into, although I totally love being around athletics and being in that venue. So I know I will enjoy my time there, but I guess I just don't know if that's 1 year or if it's 2 years or if it's 6 months. I think what we need to do is get to a milestone, sit back and reevaluate it as an institution, say, are we now ready to hire the next AD at Hastings College?
Patty, it's Monty Kratzenstein. Similar question to some of the other guests we've had recently, but what are some of the immediate challenges that you are facing now, and especially in an interim role, and you say, you know, more of a short term, how is that different than maybe a permanent deal when it comes to challenging?
Well, I think the immediate challenges are the ever-rising cost of college athletics. And when you're talking about small private institutions, it makes it even tougher. The other thing, Hastings College is in the GPAC conference, the toughest conference in the NAIA, which was visible by the four teams in the women's basketball Final Four all coming from the same conference. So I think that creates challenges, too, with the types of athletes we're competing for. You know, we want to get the same kind of athletes that UNK is going after. So to do that, it gets pricey and it gets expensive. So I think that is a challenge. Another challenge, it's hard for us to keep great coaches. I mean, we do have many, many great coaches on our staff, and they understand the small college philosophy, and that's where they thrive. But some of the young coaches that we hire, you know, when they feel and realize success, it's hard for us to keep them. You know, we've got teams, institutions that come in from elsewhere wanting our coaches to go to their programs, so which is what small college athletics is all about. You know, you've got to start somewhere, and many good coaches start at this level and want to climb the ladder. So that's a challenge for us, to keep good people in good positions.
We're talking for another minute here with the interim athletic director at Hastings College, Patty Satorius, an alum, a coach, a player. And Patty, I guess, to use the old cliche, I mean, you bleed Bronco, and it'll be tough to bring somebody in, whoever it is that bleeds Bronco. What are you guys looking for, I guess?
You know, I think that's a better question for the administration, but I think it's just probably a situation where you want to bring someone in that understands small college athletics, that works hard, you know, makes great decisions, uses great common sense, has high expectations for coaches, knows the NAIA philosophy and the direction that the NAIA is going, you know, someone that's fair, honest, and open, and willing to look at all of the challenges that we have and create a partnership and great teamwork with not only the coaching staff, but also the entire campus community.
Well, Patty,
is that person out there?
Yeah, we're looking for the perfect person, right?
Yes, of course. We set high expectations.
Now, how's this wedding thing coming along?
Oh, well, you know, we just add that to the list. I was talking with my daughter-in-law's future father-in-law, and he says, I said, why do I do this with all the stuff I've got on my plate? And he says, because you're an overachiever.
Well,
but yes, the wedding plans are going great.
I thought it was an interesting, because let's face it, with everything that's happened in the last not even 48 hours with coaching changes and moves and what's going on there at Hastings College, I know the guys are listening to the radio show and I'm watching the sports on TV and reading what's on the newspaper and on social media. And the one thing that I thought was interesting yesterday, and sometimes you never know how it's going to be taken, you might not even know you said it, but one of the interviews you said, you know, I've never failed at anything and I don't intend to fail at this.
Well, I hope that carries through, because there are lots of challenges, and this is probably the greatest challenge that I've got ahead of me. But you know, you roll up your sleeves and you dig for, or you keep putting one foot in front of the other, and you work hard. And normally, when you do that, good things happen.
Well, take care of the voice of the Broncos, would you?
Will do. Will do.
Patty, thanks for giving us some time. Good luck.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Patty Satorius, interim athletic director at Hastings College, who says she does not intend for this to be a permanent gig for her.
Yeah, 1 year, and that's interesting. You know, someone with her competitive personality and her, it'll be interesting to talk to her in 9 months and say, you know, how has this went, and do you like it? You know, a lot of people, they get that bug, and they like it. You compete just like you do when you were a player, just like you were a coach. You compete at that level. There's a little bit different sort of methods in place, but I can see her being very good at this job.
Hey, no doubt about it. No doubt about it, folks. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show, talk a little Husker football in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, where Midway Chevrolet Buick, GMC Cadillac, and Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, located on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. They'd love to have you stop by. It's truck month at Midway. Great deals on the Chevy 1500, 2500, and Colorado. And for the most awarded car company over the last year, Chevrolet. Check out the great offers on their award-winning lineup at your Midway Chevrolet dealer, and you can go online to thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. Whether you need a new or pre-owned vehicle, over 150 pre-owned vehicles in stock, they're sure to have a vehicle you're looking for at any price range. Midway, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Midway, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Cadillac, your Midway auto dealers. thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way.
We're your 12th man in football, 6th man in basketball, 7th guy in hockey. Solitaire, you're on your own.
Nobody screws with the union.
KICS Hastings, KXP, and Kearney.
All sports, one source, two stations. KICS Hastings, KXP, and Kearney. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
The story behind the Goodwill store. My story is about my daughter, Laura, who lives with a developmental disability. I've seen her learn, grow, and blossom with the help of Goodwill. People living life to the fullest, accomplishing goals, and realizing dreams. What we all strive for. What Goodwill helps people do every day. Donate, shop, be part of the story.
Doing it right makes such a difference. Goodwill.
Life is definitely good for Laura.
Are you being held hostage by today's propane prices? At three times the normal level, you need to call Anderson Brothers and fight back. Both air and water source heat pump designs are available from Carrier. Up to 75% of their energy is from the air and ground around your home. Energy that is both renewable and free to you. Let Carrier technology help you heat and cool your home. Turn to the experts at Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating. Call 308-236-6437. Or 995-4481 today.
The Buzz's Marine Spring Summer Sales Event is going on now. The deals are hot and the inventory is going fast. Take advantage of huge rebates, extended 5-year warranties on Yamaha outboard engines, and register to win prizes. Stop by and see for yourself and experience the summer oasis during Buzz's Spring Sales Event going on now through Saturday. Buzz's Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer, 5th and Central Kearney. Visit buzzesmarine.com for more details.
This year at the Vital Signs Health Fair, check your vision, hearing, height and weight, and dispose of unused medications for free. Today, Amber Alerts, missing or runaway children are a big concern. Keep your child safe by participating in the Mason's Child Identification Program. All children 18 and younger can participate. Families receive a free kit with a picture, video interview, fingerprints, and a DNA swab. All good reasons to attend the Vital Signs Health Fair this weekend at the Adams County Fairgrounds, 7 to 1 each day.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares. OneRocky.com.
Tiger Daddy Show, Doug Body Crafting Style. With you here on the Tiger Daddy Show. Let's take a look at our Midtown Mark Cooler question. Midtown Mark of Hastings, one of the coldest beer and coolest topics as we get ready for the Sweet 16 and the men's and women's basketball tournaments. There are obviously prohibitive favorites on both sides, and Kentucky and the Connecticut women. So we asked you yesterday, which team outside of Kentucky do you think has the best chance at winning this year's tournament, or defeating Kentucky, actually? Which team has the best chance of defeating Kentucky? And we gave you five choices, and we said Louisville yesterday, if they would get to the championship game, there was some national talk about not necessarily the matchup talent-wise, but the matchup, Louisville versus Kentucky, Villanova versus Georgetown, you know, North Carolina State versus North, you know, Duke North, you know, teams that you just don't want to see in the finals. Well, nobody bid on that one. A slight edge to Wisconsin is who you said would have the best chance of beating Kentucky, and then Arizona, Duke, Gonzaga all got some votes as well. Today, which women's basketball team can have the best chance of defeating Connecticut? Well, I think first off, it's got to be somebody that's maybe done it before or had a chance to do it before. We tell you Baylor, Maryland, Notre Dame, South Carolina, Tennessee. Maryland is really, really good. If you didn't know that already, Maryland is outstanding. South Carolina already had their crack at Connecticut. They're gone. Tennessee, they're not at the level that they were 15 years ago. They're gone. So that gives you Baylor, Maryland, Notre Dame. I'll say Notre Dame because they are now the Stanford, the Tennessee. I mean, it used to be Pat Summitt, Gino Auriemma. Now Notre Dame is the number two. So I'm going to vote for Notre Dame, although Maryland might be the best of those five teams.
I would say Maryland, and I'd go back to athleticism, the ability to get hot and shoot one night, because that's what it's going to take. If anybody beats UConn women or anybody beats Kentucky men, it's going to be that night where they're shooting lights out. They catch some bad things happen on the other side. That's the way upsets happen. They've happened in history. You know, ask Villanova, Georgetown. Ask a lot of different coaches along the way. But that's what's got to happen. So their athleticism, I think, gives them a little bit of advantage. So I'd take Maryland on that.
It is spring break for Husker football. They've went 2 weeks now, and Monty, I know that you like to pop your head down to practice over the years, or definitely keep an eye on what's going on. You haven't had a chance to personally watch them hit pads yet, but your thoughts on and what you're hearing? You talk to a lot of guys behind the scenes as well. So, what are your impressions through 2 weeks?
Well, a big challenge. Nothing. Groundbreaking from the standpoint. A couple things. First of all, a lot of challenges just from the implementing your system and identifying your players. You know, same thing we talked with Coach at UNK. But this is a little bit bigger deal because they have 120 players and they're trying to figure out, is there anybody that slipped through the cracks over the last year or who has developed over the last year that can really help us immediately? That's what you have to identify. And then the other piece of that is, are there back, we've got a lot of starters back in a lot of positions, and we should be really pretty good, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, if you look at the athletes that are there, especially up front, and we talk all the time about Valentine and Collins, and I'll tell you what, if you have a couple of studs like that in the middle, you can do a lot of different things defensively. I'm really excited about that part of it, just from an athletic standpoint at all three levels on the defense. On offense, everybody wants to talk about ad nauseum about quarterback. But bottom line is you have to have great quarterback play to have a great team. So I guess maybe there's a reason why people talk about it. But you've got a guy so interesting that's a two-year starter that is, you know, I don't know if it's much maligned is the right word, but he's maligned at some point. And then you have another guy, and when Mike Riley was hired, everybody talked about now Riker Fife and Johnny Stanton are going to be the guys because they have a skill set, they have this, they have that, and that's fine. It's great to talk about. They're going to have a fresh start. But then once spring ball emerges, all of a sudden, what's the name? What's the name? A.J. Bush, you know, looks like the quarterback, looks like the part. You know, yeah, he's raw. I'm not dispelling that. I'm not saying he's not. I haven't seen him in person. He's got some things that Tommy Armstrong or some of those other guys on that roster, quarterback roster, don't have. But just rein it in a little bit. Just rein it in. I'm always interested in the offensive line. And by the way, you got a couple of coaches on the offensive side of the ball that are characters. I mean, if you want to talk, have some fun, you know, watch Kavanaugh coach a little bit and listen to him. He's, you know, he's a character, but he's got his work cut out for him because we have a lot of offensive linemen that are really, really even. So they're one of two things going to happen. You know, they're going to have to develop some kids into better than average players. We got a lot of guys that are good players. Now, what's their ceiling? What's their ability to get from good to where we need them to be to compete for a conference championship? And that's his job because I can't pick him out. I've heard a lot of guys that, like, well, you got to watch this guy. This guy's pretty good. But except for Lewis on the left tackle spot, I think that it's up in the air. And they're going to just compete for those five spots. And it might be eight guys competing for those five spots and playing. But that's intriguing to me. Not unlike the running back position where you have four guys that have all, I mean, have flashed at times, whether it be in practice or in games, have flashed at times. You got to figure out who's going to be your guys. That's the toughest thing.
I think it'll be interesting to see how the guys that, for whatever the reason, didn't play last fall, injuries, suspension with Leroy Alexander and things like that, Sam Burch coming back, Brandon Riley got back at the end of last year, the turmoil around Banderas. The thing about Tommy Armstrong, if he's not your quarterback on opening day, that should register to you that there is a problem down there in Lincoln. That's what I'm going to say about the quarterback issue. As much as I said well, that was a tough spot for us last year, and it still will be, but not near as much, he's your guy. He's your guy, and we're going to have 6 months, and Chris and the gang at Hale Varsity will beat that into the ground as well for the next 5 months or whatever it is until we get to fall ball.
But do you agree with me that this group, this staff, is easy to cheer for? I mean, do you when they, and I know this is just part of it, but it's an important part of it nowadays, whether it be social media, talking to the reporters, the way you present yourself, that's an important part of being a coach in college right now. That is, there's no doubt. Do you like it, the fact that they are more open? They are easier to get along with? Or is that no big deal to you?
From a media standpoint, that's fine. But I go back. Bo and Tim Beck and John Papuchas, they were all open, but once you're getting your toes run over by the media and everything that's going on, you have to be so guarded. They did the interviews, and Bo hardly ever snapped at anybody the last couple of years after practice.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I'm not going to sit here and change my stance at all on this deal. Yeah, it's great that Mike Riley and his guys are there, and yes, I'm going to root for him, but am I going to root for him any more than I rooted for Nebraska last year? Hell no.
Okay.
One bit. Why would I? I'm going to be rooting for the football team to win.
Right.
In the end, Monty, does it matter? Does it matter? If the coach wins and he's a nice guy, and if Bo was winning, when Bo was winning, he was pretty much a nice guy. I mean, let's face it. When you're winning, winning cures all and all that. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is, if they win, everybody's going to be happy.
Sure.
So.
Sure. Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm gonna stay on that for the next 5 months or whatever.
And you'll be able to because they won't play a game for quite a while, and so you know they're undefeated. They're still honeymoon period.
Yeah. So we'll see how it all plays out. We do want to thank and again a busy show today. Crazy. What do you guys do when sports stops? We got the spring coaches. We still got to be trying to catch up with, but it's been so busy the last few days, and it's awesome. And we get ready for the Sweet 16 tomorrow, and we will be at Bandits in Grand Island. And Mike Davis, head coach of the Nebraska Nebraska Danger will join us. We'll give you a chance to win tickets to Friday night's Nebraska Danger game. Next week, we're going to start giving away tickets to the Nebraska Spring game here on the Doug and Daddy Show. But tomorrow, a chance to win Nebraska Danger tickets. We'll talk with Coach Davis. And it's not 100%, but it's better than 75% that we'll start the show tomorrow with Texas baseball coach Augie Garrido as they get ready to roll into Lincoln. And that is always a treat. Of course, Steve Anderson from Fauna Park will be our co-host. We want to thank the new men's basketball coach at UNK, Kevin Lofton, UNK football coach Josh Lamerson, and Patty Satorius, interim athletic director at Hastings College, for all joining us today. And as always, Monty, appreciate your insight. Thanks.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!
Thanks for giving us some time today. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for letting me stop in.
No problem. We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.